Marching on. That's what we're to be doing. Those of us who are saved by the grace of God, we're to be keeping on, keeping on. You know, tonight as we open up with the book of Revelation chapter 13, if you'll turn there, I want to speak to us very candidly this evening about where we are at right now as far as God's timetable is concerned. At any moment, we are tonight looking at the very middle of the tribulation point where the beast and the false prophet make this great deal of worship, desecration of the temple. We understand that even now, the things that are transpiring in the Middle East, we are seeing a temple preparation. We are seeing the ability to regain all the things in order to have the worship that they used to do. We're talking about the red strain, the heifer red strain, and we're talking about the utensils. 3.5 years. 3.5 years is all it's going to take. Whether it's from this point onward, but there's 3.5 years ahead of us right now, we know for a fact. We know for a fact that at this very moment the church could be called home, the redeemed could be called out, and all the chaos that's ensuing right now in this world is just going to bolster the Antichrist when he comes on the scene. It's just going to lift him up, because the Antichrist is going to be not just a world power leader, but he's going to be a world power in war leader. He's going to be stunning, to say the least. And of course, the first 3.5 years, it's going to be, there's going to be this calming effect that he's going to place upon all the world. He's going to be this great leader, this great charismatic leader. It's going to calm all the nerves of everybody. And that's one reason why tonight that I say that in the world in which we are living today, she's being primed for what is about to happen. I'm afraid that too many Christians don't really get a hold of that. I'm afraid that far too many Christians have allowed the things that's going on in the world just to go over their heads. Realize this world's in turmoil right now. This world is really turned upside down right now. And listen, it's not going to get any better. The days of the good old days are gone, folks. That's all there is to it. What we refer to as the good old days, they're never coming back. The days where, you know, there was even in the political realm, there were people that were allowed and able to get along, but you don't see that today anywhere. You see people that try to reach across the aisle, but yet there is just such chaos in the whole world, and everybody's staging themselves to take over and to be the greatest. And I'll tell you, we are seeing a world that is turned up on its ears. It's sad to say we see a lot of Christendom who is bewildered with the times that we are living in. But listen, folks, this is where we're at right now. Now, whether we realize it or not, listen, the end of time is right around the corner. The end of days. Who knows? The Antichrist could be on the scene right now. You see, that's the thing about it. We don't know for a fact, but he could be. He could already be primed in a political sense to come in and calm everything down. And that's going to be his main power. His effect to bring calmness in a time of utter despair. We see what's going on in the world today, but can you just imagine what's going to happen when all the redeemed are called off the scene and the Holy Spirit is pulled out? Can you just imagine with me for just one moment now, folks? We're not there yet. We're still here. The Holy Spirit's still here. Understand this. When he that restraineth is pulled out of the way, when the Holy Spirit is taken up and his people go with him because he abides within us, we think it's bad now. You can't even begin to imagine what it's going to be like. These first 10 verses of Scripture here that's found in verse 10, chapter 13, has to deal with the Antichrist. And the Bible reads like this now, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear." You ever really pay any close attention to the paw of a bear? It is brutally big and with devastating claws. It is meant to rip to shreds anything that it wishes to. His mouth as the mouth of a lion. And I know you have probably watched National Geographic or something like that and watched the shows on Africa and the big cats. And there you see how a lion will rip to shreds with his bare teeth its prey. That's the way the Antichrist is going to be in this last time. When the Antichrist comes on the scene, he's going to be just like this. He's going to be like a wild beast ravening and ravaging anything that he pleases. The Bible says the dragon gave him power. And the dragon here is Satan. Satan gave him power and his seat and his great authority. "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." This is the work of Antichrist and how he's able to bring about a complete regeneration of a nation. "And they worship the dragon," Satan, "which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" That's what I'm saying. Antichrist is going to be a great war machine as well. We look at certain men in our own past. We think about some of these great warriors. We think about some of these generals who have absolutely ramshacked all armies that it come up against. And yet we are looking at the Antichrist here as the greatest, as one of the greatest powers worldwide that the world has ever seen. Greater than these ones, Genghis Khan or any of these. He's going to be a man of great power. Verse 5 says, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That 3.5 years. Can you just imagine that the first, you know, the Antichrist came on the scene back in chapter 11 when the two witnesses were taken out, when the two witnesses were killed. The Antichrist came on the scene at that time. And here we are in chapter 13, and you're in the midst of the tribulation period. And now you see this great power, this great entity of evil began to come in and take his stand. The Bible says in verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Here the Antichrist is going to be doing everything in his power to make us feel his voice. But he cannot hurt us in heaven, folks. The redeemed of the Lord are going to be in heaven. But yet he's going to be breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the people of God that's in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names were not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And if any man have an ear, let me say this right now. Listen to what this verse says. All you that may be here tonight and do not know the Lord as your Savior, listen to what this verse says. Here is an invitation for you to take warning. Here is an invitation for you to take a clear clue as what the Bible's getting ready to say. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. I'm going to stop my reading right there for just this moment. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, but I would beseech you tonight, those of you who are saved by the grace of God, to realize where we're at right now. Look at the world scene around you. I mean, I'm not just talking about America. I'm talking about the whole world in general. Listen, I want you to know this world is being primed to be taken over by Antichrist fully and wholly. Now, I've never seen such chaos, have you? No, you haven't. Man has never been in such a shape as he's in now. And I want you to know something. It's all being set up. We are, this world right now, as we sit here in this house of God worshiping tonight, the world over is being set up. It's being primed. And the Antichrist is ready to make his move. Folks, I'm here to tell you. Am I trying to put a date on when Jesus is coming back? I'm not trying to put a date on nothing. I'm just telling you, it can't be long. It cannot be long. Almost gracious and divine Heavenly Father, Lord, as we bow in your presence this evening, we do come thanking you for the day which you've given us. We do come tonight, Lord, asking that you would bless thy word. Empower your word, dear God, tonight to touch the hearts of your people. Father, I pray that you will make us aware of who we are and where we're at in time. And Lord, for the lost around us, I pray, dear God, open their eyes. Lord, break their old stony hearts. Help them to see their need even now. Truly, dear God, as I look out at loved ones, Father, that do not know thee even now, my heart breaks for them, dear God, to realize that they may be sitting under the power and influence of the Antichrist in a day yet coming. My prayer would be tonight, dear God, that you would wake them up. You would draw them unto you. Oh, dear God, bring salvation to the lost around us. May we hear of souls being saved, dear God, wherever this CD may go. We pray, Father, for thy word tonight, that you would empower it. Bless us tonight. Bring to my thoughts and my memory, dear God, the things that I've studied. Help me not to say anything that's contrary to your word, oh God. But help me to bring forth truth and let us do it with honesty and integrity. Father, I pray again that you would bless tonight's service, bless this church. Help us to continue to stand in these last days in which we are in. For truly the times are bleak before us. But dear God, we are thy lighthouse in this community. Help us continue to shine forth brightly. Forgive us, Lord, our sin in Christ's name. and amen. Emmanuel, our lesson tonight has to deal with the Antichrist and his own prophet of doom, of lies and counterfeit brags, which will lead many to succumb to his reckless lies and false testimony of the Antichrist himself. The beasts which are brought before us tonight in Scripture represent the two main forces in the time known as the tribulation or the great tribulation. And these first 10 verses of Scripture in this chapter 13, the first of these two beasts represents the Antichrist, who will be the future political power who will stand opposed to God, the God of heaven, and those that follow him. We see this in verse 6 and 7 of our text, where the Bible says, "And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." We know that from 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 22, the Bible speaks about what an Antichrist is. 1 John 4, 3 speaks about what the Antichrist is. 2 John in verse 7 speaks about who the Antichrist is. In 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2. Now, I've got to turn to some of these, and I want you to listen to them for just a moment and just think about it just for a moment where we're at right now. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2. And I want you to begin reading at verse 3. And here the Bible says this: "Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." What's going on in the world today? You see people that's falling away. And I'm not just talking in general about Christendom. I'm talking about people who have something to fall away from. They are leaving the people of God and the church of God. There is that great falling away happening all over this country. You see, you hear people talk about churches where there's only like four or five there, and you see what's going on is that there's been this great exodus of people who are no longer interested in church and the things of God. That's the great falling away that's taking the place. And in many instances, now listen, it isn't no fault of the preacher or the pastor. These are people who are succumbing to the end time, and they're beginning to fall away from sound truth and sound doctrine. The Bible goes on to say in verse 4, or latter part of verse 3, the Bible says to begin with, "Except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." You know who that is? That's the Antichrist. He's going to be revealed very soon, my friend, because we have already started to see the falling away take place in God's churches. We're seeing the evidence of the things that are really now beginning to take place. The man of sin is about to be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is the desecration that Matthew 24 speaks of. This is the desecration of the temple that the Bible speaks of just right in the middle point of the tribulation time, when that peace pact with Israel all of a sudden falls apart. Brother John was mentioning just a moment ago in the prayer room about a peace treaty that is now being waged out with Arab Emirates. And this is just one faction over there. And they're always been trying this, but here, here recently there's been a greater push from all the world to try to make a peace treaty with Israel. You know what's getting ready to happen? Israel's getting ready to be assaulted, folks. I want you to know that. The man of sin is just about ready to begin his waging war against the people of God, against the very chosen nation itself. Now listen, there's only 144,000 Jews that are sealed in the forehead, so there's a great deal of people that he's going to be fighting with in Israel. There's a great deal of people that he's going to be bringing to naught in Israel. And here again, the Bible says this in verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. What's withholding the Antichrist right now? God's Holy Spirit. He is now restraining the coming forth. It's almost like the Holy Spirit is saying, not yet, mister. You just hold your time. You'll get your chance in just a little while. That's the Holy Spirit's job right now. He's holding back the Antichrist from being completely revealed. He is. I do believe that he's on the scene today. You may say, well, you're foolish to say that. Well, you just look at the Bible, look at the prophecy, and look at where we're at right now. Look at what's going on in the world today. You have to realize that the things that I mentioned this morning about that one thing that was on Facebook or whatever it was. Listen, you have to understand that this world is getting the total depravity of this world is really beginning to just blossom forth. We are in the last of time, folks. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Listen, it won't be long to you that are lost in this house tonight. It won't be long when the redeemed around this house of God tonight will be taken off the scene along with the Holy Spirit. And then your future is sealed. The Bible says in verse 8, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying and wonder. Folks, I want you to know something tonight. As I look at that last verse of Scripture, I realize that, listen, we're on the right side, amen? We're on the side where the Bible says that this Antichrist is going to be consumed with just the very voice of God. Just His voice. And the brightness of His image is going to consume the Antichrist. You know, tonight as we look at the preposition of anti, which means to be against, indicates to us tonight that this one's opposition to Christ is not a replacement of Christ. In Daniel chapter 7, if you'll go back for just a moment to Daniel chapter 7, I know I've got a lot to cover tonight and I know time is already getting away from us, but let's get through this. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 7, and this I saw in the night visions. And behold, the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. Remember what we read of there in the book of Revelation chapter 13 about the teeth of this one? He devoured and brake in pieces and stamped to the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked out by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was as white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. You know, on down in verse 21, the Bible says, "And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came. And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom." You go to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15, and there again you see this thing beginning to take place. The characteristic of this one is that he opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, says our text. It's what it says in verse 4 of Revelation 13. This one will be a Of course, he'll be a miracle worker. He will be able to bring, we're thinking about this one beast that had the bad wound in the head. You're thinking about don't think so much of a person. You know, a lot of times people, the first thing they begin to say was, you know, I've heard people say, well, that must have been Kennedy. You know, I've heard people use Kennedy as a means of fulfilling their thoughts here. But think more on the lines of a nation. What were the nations that collapsed? One of those nations was the Roman Empire. The Bible's teaching us here that, listen, here in the very near future, the Roman Empire is going to come back with all of its glory, even the Babylonian Empire. And we're going to see that, folks, right here in the Scriptures. Think about it. We're going to see this take place. Listen, he's coming forth. It'll be after the working of Satan. But it won't be Satan. Now, as we look at the Scripture, I believe it's evident tonight that the Apostle Paul believed that Satan will not be so concerned with the past, but more with the future. More with what he has left with. You know, as we see the Scripture, we are now getting a glimpse of total depravity of the fallen state of mankind. Only growing more sinful as the days come near to an end. During this time of tribulation, evilness will make its greatest commitment to overcome good and all that is right and righteous. And we see those things happening. We see in the world today, we see a group of individuals, and it is becoming more and more alarming as you see this socialist agenda that is beginning to outpour throughout all the world, where we see men calling bad good and good bad. That's what you see going on in the world today. And that is a pure sign of the end of times. During this time of tribulation, evilness will make again its greatest commitment to overcome good. And the forces of evil will be led by this mysterious figure. This person will be empowered by Satan. He's going to be used as an instrument in a climatic, complete challenge of God and His people. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and 8, this is when all evil, or Satan, the beast, and the false prophet, the demon hordes, will be once and all and forever defeated. But before then, Antichrist is going to have his rule. The Bible says again concerning this time when God and his people will win. The Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. What a God that we serve. Now again, the Antichrist, as he sets himself up, as the great God, and he begins to take his place in the newly rebuilt temple, the Bible says that this false prophet, this second beast that comes along, has got really one mission. And his one mission is to bolster up the Antichrist. The false prophet's one mission is to get all the world to worship the Antichrist. What you're beginning to see here is an unholy Trinity. And I hate to even use the word Trinity. The other day when I was writing this down, I kind of refused to write down Trinity. It reminds me too much of my God. But it's an unholy Trinity, Satan. Listen, you have the Antichrist and you have the false prophet. Now, we are now beholding through prophecy this second beast. This one who will encourage the world to worship the Antichrist. In Revelation 13, the Bible says here in verse 12, if you'll look at it, and he exerciseth all power of the first beast before him. He had just as much power. Satan gave him just as much leeway as he did the Antichrist. And the Bible says in verse 13, and he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven and on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image. Now listen to this. Where does this take you to? Takes you back to Daniel, doesn't it? That's what Daniel had done. Or not Daniel, but Nebuchadnezzar. You know what he done? He had them to build an image of himself. Think about this. Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Now think about that. The image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. This false prophet is now coming on the scene. And we now see just how the devil plays out his counterfeit legacy. Again, there is now a satanic triunion. Satan has always tried to counterfeit the Heavenly Father. He always wanted to be in his place. That's the reason why that he fell as he did. The beast is the imitation of the Son and Savior. The false prophet counterfeits the Spirit. The second beast comes from the land which according to what many historians and writers write about, they believe that this second beast may be of a Jewish descent. Now, I don't know where they get that, but he's of the earth. Paul was also a Roman citizen who was of the earth, who was Jewish. So you know, maybe that's where they get their linkage to that, but I don't know, but it doesn't really concern me that much. But this one thing I do know, that the Antichrist and the false prophet of chapter 13 is here to make havoc upon the earth. Antichrist will use the false prophet to help him win over the inhabitants of all. If you remember, and the false prophet comes in, as Scripture tells us here, he's like a lamb. He's coming in, first of all, he's going to be kind of nice and easy. He's going to be able to get people settled down and let them say, listen, here's where you need to be tonight. Here's what you need to be doing. It's for your own good and for your own safety. He's going to be there like a meek lamb, but yet he's going to be like a wolf in sheep's clothing, folks. Again, we see the suggestion of peace and friendliness, but notice there's no crown or authority on the horns of this one. Satan gives him the same power as the first beast, but his only task is to glorify the beast and get the world to follow him. Sad to say, as I've spoken many, many times from this pulpit, during that time, you know, I've heard people say, well, preacher, when you all leave in the rapture, I'm going to know what's going on, and then I'll trust the Lord. You know what the Bible says? You're going to believe a lie and be damned. You know who's going to be doing the lying? The false prophet. You're going to believe that lie, and you're going to be damned to a devil's hell. Now, that's what the Bible says. All you have to do is go back and start reading Daniel chapter 3. Take time to read Daniel 7, Daniel 11, and all these scriptures, Matthew 24, and you'll see exactly what we're talking about here tonight. I'm telling you, folks, again, what we're looking at in the world today, this world's set up right now, ready for the Antichrist to take over. And the sad thing about it is there's a lot of Christians tonight who would fall prey if they weren't saved by the grace of God and called off the scene. I'm afraid there's a lot of so-called church people tonight that would fall prey to the lies of the Antichrist and the false prophet. But now, as we come to this last thing tonight, verses 16 and 17 of Revelation 13 says, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now think about this. Not only is the false prophet in charge of this new worldwide religion, but he is also in control of the worldwide economic situation. Think about it. What's the world looking for right now? What are they looking for, brother? They're looking for peace in the Middle East, aren't they? This whole world over tonight, as we in this country are getting ready for an election time, and I'm telling you, there's nothing but chaos going on in our world right now and in our government. That's the reason why that I ask the men tonight again, be sure we pray for our leaders. We do have some that are trying to take a stand for God. The folks are being bombarded. Right is being assaulted on every hand. Now, whether you're with the left or whether you're with the right, I want you to know this one thing: God's going to take full charge one day. And again, these followers that believe this lie and go out and began to worship this Antichrist being, because he's going to be so brilliant. I mean, he's going to be so fabulous, charismatic. He's going to be everything that the world says they got to have today. You know, I hear people talk about pastors like that. He's got to be charismatic. He has to be up with the times. He has to be willing to do whatever it takes. Folks, I want you to know something. I'm not a sellout. And I'm not for sale. I believe God's men need to take a stand. And that's one thing that was mentioned in our prayer room tonight by a man that stated we need to pray that God's men will have backbone or in essence have backbone to take a stand and to be what they need to be, to lead the churches where they need to go. Folks, we're not seeing that today. We're not seeing men that are pastoring, that are leading in the right way. They're going away from the old ways. But there are going to be those that will receive a mark in their foreheads or in their hands, the mark of the beast. You know, that is something that's being tried even now in Europe. You know that little old chip that they put under your hand that you could just go up to the register? They showed it on television. And all they done when they brought their groceries up, they just put their hand under the scanner and it read a number. Folks, I want you to know something. That's the beginning of the mark of the beast. Now, whether you realize it or not, you may call me a conspirator, theorist, or whatever. You can call me whatever you want, but I'm telling you, that's the beginning of the mark of the beast. It's been used already in Europe. But any and all who do not have the mark will not be able to buy, sell, or trade. They'll either starve to death or they'll be murdered and martyred. Daniel 7, 8, and 9, and 21 and 22, you'll see that. Revelation 6, 9, Revelation 20 and 4. Listen, Satan will have exactly what he has always been wanting. The world will be worshiping him. He will be in control of the kingdoms of the world, or so he thinks. It's only for a little while. The only problem is that Christ is still reigning on his throne. Amen. That's the problem that Satan faces. Christ cannot be overthrown. And one day soon, we're going to see that in a future study. Jesus Christ is going to come back. And folks, he's going to be riding on a white charger one day. You know, I've always been a kind of a horse fanatic back in my younger days. And I've always wondered about that white charger. But can you imagine all the saints are coming out of heaven with him? We're not going to be fighting. We're just going to be watching. He's going to do all. With the brightness of his glory and the voice that will take him out. Satan is going to be pouring out his unbridled fury upon the inhabitants of the earth because he can't do nothing with Christ and his believers in heaven. So all his fury is going to be poured out right here. Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet are all going to be doing everything in their power until God puts a stop to it. But the problem is this, that all those that are going to be left behind, it's going to be a sad day. A sad day. Folks, these things are real. What we're looking at right now is real. You see the chaos that's in the world? It's real. This is not something that's just put on politically. I'm telling you, it's something that's happening for real. Many people just want to look at the political side of things, but I'm telling you, it's more than political. It's God. He's allowing things to take place, and that's how close we are, my friend, to going home. Antichrist could be on the scene now. He very well could be. Because if tonight we were to be taken home, in 3.5 years, desecration of the temple will happen. Think about it. That's when Antichrist is going to begin to pour out his fury upon the inhabitants of the earth. I hope you're not left behind. Let's all stand, please. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, Lord, as we bow before your throne again tonight, we do thank you. We thank you, dear God, for the blessed privilege of once again being in thy house. We thank you, dear God, for the truth that your word gives us. It gives us an eye for the future that lies ahead. Father, I pray for this church family that you protect her and care for her, help her to stay strong. Even in times of turmoil and chaos, dear God, help this church family to go on being what she needs to be. But Father, I pray for the lost around us. Oh, dear God, tonight I pray for this congregation, for the lost that are in it. Dear God, I pray that you save their souls. And may this, even this very night, you save them all. Protect them, dear God, from the siege of Satan, his Antichrist, and the false prophet. Oh, dear God, tonight I pray, bless thy people. Help us to be thankful, dear God, for the great salvation you have given us. Father, I truly am thankful. I pray your blessings upon this congregation. I ask now that you forgive us our sin in Christ's name. And amen. Have our song leader and our pianist to come.